This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
It's been said, we live in uncertain times, a time described by Jesus himself that would eventually become known as the beginning of sorrows. Christ warned us about increased earthquakes, famines, pestilence, and disease. In addition, it would include rumors of wars and bloodshed that if the time was not shortened, no flesh would be saved alive. And many have come and gone over the years, preaching and warning about these conditions and the second coming of Jesus Christ. And yes, many people have been deceived into believing his return was indeed imminent. Men like William Miller, back in 1844, who believed Jesus was coming back in the fall of that year, but Christ never did return. Or Benjamin Cream, who thought Christ was to return on the summer solstice of 1982. Or how about Harold Camping, who thought the rapture would happen in May of 2011? Yes, many have come and gone over the years, fanning the flames of fear through their ministries, even using the Y2K computer bug idea, as Jack Van Impe did. Or what about John Hagee and Mark Biltz, who claimed the blood moons were the harbinger of Christ's return in the very near future? Why, even Ron Wineland believed Jesus' return would be on Pentecost of 2019. And sadly, people believe these ideas of men. However, the Bible is clear. Nobody knows the time or day of Christ's return, except the Father, who reserves that prerogative unto himself. But there are some things that will give us an idea of the season for his return. And there are some questions we can answer that will help us to know what we really should be looking for, as opposed to the signs of the beginning of sorrows. So stay with us as we attempt to add some clarity to answering these questions surrounding the timing of Jesus Christ's return.
In times like these, we need the armor of God for the well-being of our families, to help you stand in the evil day. The Church of God International presents Armor of God, a program of biblical understanding.
Surely Jesus Christ is about to return. When we look at the chaos in the world around us, there's war, there's rumors of war, earthquakes, tsunamis. These are all signs that Jesus Christ is going to return. Well, welcome to another international broadcast of The Armor of God. I'm your host, Adrian Davis. And certainly as we do look at the world around us, we see more and more chaos. It's a world of increasing violence. You know, the Second World War was supposed to be the war to end all wars. And since then, we see war everywhere. We even hear, you know, election meddling, which are fighting words, could lead to war. We see trade wars, which could lead to military war. It's a very unstable world. In fact, we see now nuclear powers, rogue states that shouldn't have nuclear technology, threatening nuclear war. Very, very dangerous world. Look at the hurricanes, look at the tornadoes, look at the tsunamis. All of these signs surely point to the return of our Lord, Jesus Christ. And if you believe that, my friends, what that means is you've been listening to false prophets. That's right. Only false prophets would point to these as signs of Jesus Christ's return. Why? Jesus Christ actually said the exact opposite. when we look at what Jesus Christ actually spoke, the words that he spoke, he didn't point to any of these as signs of his return. In fact, he said the exact opposite. These are signs that he is not returning yet. And before I get into this in more detail, I know I'm going to run out of time. This is a big topic, but I do have some additional resources that I'd like to offer you. And these resources will help you get into these scriptures in much more detail than I can handle in this short broadcast. The first offer that I'd like you to ask for is a Bible study that I did on the book of Zephaniah, specifically chapter 2, where I compare Zephaniah's prophecy to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 24, which we will cover today. The other resource that I'd like you to ask for is a sermon that I gave entitled, In the Likely Event of an Emergency. In the Likely Event of an Emergency, which also goes into detail of the prophecy in Matthew 24, but more from a personal responsibility perspective. So don't forget to ask for those two resources, Zephaniah chapter 2, and the sermon entitled In the Likely Event of an Emergency. To get these resources free of charge, simply call us toll-free at 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or you can go to the website, cgi.org, and you can order the resources there. Also on the website, cgi.org, you'll have access to a number of broadcasts that we do, Bible studies, sermons throughout the week, and you can access additional resources there. Another great way to access these resources is on our app. So if you haven't downloaded the app, look for the app at any app store, any of the app stores, and the app is entitled CGI Digital Network. So download that app, and it's a very convenient tool to have on your smartphone, your smart device, and just have access to a plethora of resources that will be very helpful. So today, we are looking into the prophecy that Jesus Christ gave to us to understand the timing of his return. And that we will find in Matthew 24, a very popular scripture. And if you go to Matthew 24, you'll see that the disciples of Christ were asking him about the timing of his return. We'll just break in at verse 3. Chapter 24 and verse 3, you'll notice that the disciples are asking three questions of the Lord. It says here in verse 3, as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately saying, notice the three questions. Tell us, number one, when shall these things be? Number two, what shall be the sign of your coming? And number three, and of the end of the world. Now, all three questions Jesus Christ is going to answer. But before I get into that, let's understand the context of these three questions. Why did they ask these questions? Why were they so concerned about the timing? You'd have to go back to chapter 23 to get the context of these three questions. We won't read, on your own time, you should actually read the whole chapter to lead into chapter 24. But let's just pick it up at verse 30. In chapter 23 and verse 30, we read, Christ is actually speaking here. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see these in red. He says, and you say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Therefore, you are witnesses unto yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill you up then the measure of your fathers. You serpents, you generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them you shall kill and crucify, and some of them you shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, from the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Barachias, whom you slew between the temple and the altar. Truly I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. And then he goes on to say, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you that kill the prophets. Jerusalem had a history of killing the prophets and stone them which are sent unto you. How often would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chicken under her wings, but you would not. Behold, your house, that is the house of Jerusalem, the temple in Jerusalem, is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me again until you shall say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And unfortunately, the people who put the chapter breaks put a break here. I wish they didn't. They should have really gone another two verses before putting the chapter break. But let's read these two verses that begin chapter 24. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. So they were so astonished by his devastating prophecy that they were trying to show some beauty left in Jerusalem. And they show him the temple, and he says, Jesus said unto them, verse 2, do you not see all these things? Truly I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. This was such an astonishing prophecy. The disciples were shocked that they then asked him the timing of these things. When shall these things be? What will be the sign of your return? And the end of the age. Now, Jesus, in answering the question, the three questions, was so concerned that they get the timing right, that he begins by answering by giving them the non-signs. These are not the signs of my return. These are the things that do not get excited when you see these signs, because these are not the signs of my return. So he begins in verse 4 saying, Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. So he's very concerned about the timing, that the answering their question, don't be deceived about the timing. For many shall come in my name, saying I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And that's what we have, is a history of false prophets, false ministers, many coming in the name of Christ, saying he's Christ, and deceiving many about the timing of these events. He says, you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you're not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. And yet we have false prophets pointing to wars, pointing rumors of wars, and troubling us, trying to get us to be really fear-mongers, trying to get us to be afraid, to tell us that this is the end. Christ says, when you see these things, don't be troubled, because the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in different places. All these are not the end. Read it for yourself. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrows. So Christ is saying, don't be deceived. Don't look at these signs and cause people to cause you to panic. This is just the beginning. Buckle up. It's going to be a long journey. So he says here, if we go on now to the three answers, so they ask three very specific questions, and Christ is going to give them three very specific answers. First, they want to know when these things shall be. They want to know what shall be the sign of his coming, and they want to know what will be the sign of the end of the world. Let's deal with the first one. When shall these things be? First of all, what are these things that they're referring to? Well, we read it earlier in chapter 23, and verse 36, when he was cursing the scribes and the Pharisees, the leaders of Jerusalem, he said in verse 36 of chapter 23, truly I say unto you, all these things, all these curses shall come upon this generation. So when we come into chapter 24, when the disciples say, when shall these things be? These things that they're referring to are the curses that Christ pronounced in chapter 23, and the first two verses of chapter 24. Now, in answering the question, when shall these things be? He answers it in beginning in verse 32 of chapter 24. He says, now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So likewise you, when you shall see all these things, these are all the things that he's pointed out so far, know that it is near, even at the doors. So these things are indicators that it's near. And then he says this. This is the answer to the question. Verse 34. Truly I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So the answer to the question, when shall these things be? They shall all be within one generation. And Christ said to them, look, I wanted to gather your children together as a chicken gathers her hens, or a hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. And so this is going to happen to your children. And that generation that these things begin to happen in, it's all going to happen in a single generation. It's going to be very intense and happen together. The second question then they asked is, what shall be the sign of your coming? So if we look for the answer then, what is the sign of Christ's coming? It's not war. It's not rumors of war. It's not famine, pestilences. What is the sign of his coming? In verse 23 of chapter 24, he says, then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, don't believe it. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Dropping down to verse 29, here's the answer now. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So very clearly, the answer, when shall be the sign of your coming, is immediately after the tribulation of those days. After the moon no longer gives her light, the stars fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens are shaken, then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. Their third question was also, what is the sign of the end of the world? When will be the, and when they say end of the world, they mean the end of this age. So there's an age that we're in, that we're going to conclude this age and go into a new age. So they wanted to know, what is the sign of the end of the age? In verse 8 of chapter 24, these signs that the false prophets point to get everybody excited that Christ is about to return, it's the end of the world. Christ, in fact, says the opposite. He says, all these are the beginning of sorrows. They're not the signs of the end. They're the signs of the beginning of the end. We're moving into a time of great sorrow, a time of great chaos, a time of great upheaval and uncertainty and unrest. And it's going to be very difficult for Christians. So these are the beginning of sorrows. And he goes on to say that we're going to be afflicted and hated of all nations. Then drop down to verse 14. Why are all these nations going to hate Christians so much? Verse 14, he says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world. So all the world hates us, all nations. And then Christ says, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. And then shall the end come. That's the answer, my friends, to the third question. When will be the end of this age? Christ says, when this gospel is preached in all nations, then shall the end come. So these are the three questions that Christ answered, the three questions that the disciples asked, and three very specific answers that Christ gave to them. And when we understand what Christ gave as answers, and we see how important it is that we are not deceived, we're not going to allow false prophets to get us excited and all het up and then disappointed. And then excited, and then disappointed. And then excited, and then disappointed. And then we just throw in the towel. Christ was very concerned that we understand that he's not going to return when we think he's going to return. It's going to come as a surprise. Now, is it enough to understand the timing and not to be deceived by false prophets? Or is there more? There's a lot more. And that more has to do with personal responsibility. If we understand the timing and that these are just these signs that we're seeing now are the beginning of sorrows, does that mean that we can relax and say, oh, well, Christ is not going to return tomorrow, I can relax? That's a very dangerous position to take. Christ says you cannot say, my Lord delays his coming. And although he's not going to return tomorrow, we could certainly die tomorrow. We could die today. And for us, that then is the end of the age as far as we're concerned. And the next moment, the next waking moment, we'll be face to face with our Lord. In verse 13 of Matthew 24, Christ says very clearly, He that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And by implication, it's going to be a very difficult period. When Jesus says, all these are the beginning of sorrows, he then goes on, you know, after describing what takes place in the world and the chaos in the world, he goes on to then explain the chaos that will take place in the church, the betrayal that will take place in the church, the betrayal that will take place within families. It's going to be such a frightful time that unless one has been developing strong Christian character, strong Christian courage, they're going to betray our Lord, and we're going to betray each other. And it's going to be a terrible, terrible time. And Christ says we must endure to the end. And the only way we can endure to the end is to understand the power of Christ's words and to build our lives based on his words. So it's not enough to know the timing. We also have to have that personal responsibility as Christians to live according to our Lord's instructions. He says here in verse 12, because iniquity shall abound, and we're heading into a new chapter of world history where iniquity will abound. And he says, because of this, because iniquity shall abound, notice this, the love of many shall wax cold. And what I want you to notice here is, first of all, that word love is the Greek word agape. That is a spiritual love. That is a level of love that is only possible with the receipt of the Holy Spirit. So those who have the Holy Spirit, and notice the other thing here, it's many, shall wax cold. So this is a period of great failure in the church. And Christ says, only those who endure to the end shall be saved. In verse 36, he says, of that day and hour knows no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. So we can know the seasons, but we're not going to know the exact day nor hour. And he says, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. In other words, it's going to be a surprise that those who lived in the days of Noah, they saw Noah building the ark for many, many years. They heard Noah preaching for many, many years. But the exact timing of what he preached about, they had no idea. And it's not until Noah went into the ark and closed the door and the floodwaters came, that's when they finally understood the truth of what Noah was preaching. Because of that, that Christ's return is going to be similar to what happened in the days of Noah. Because of that, he says in verse 42, watch therefore, keep an eye out, be alert to your surroundings, understand how the world is changing, be alert to what's happening within your congregation, and work hard to keep the congregation united and to keep we call it leaven, keep the sin out of the congregation, and work hard watching ourselves, making sure that we're not letting up, that we're not falling into this mentality that my Lord delays his coming. That we are very clear that just when it looks like Christ is not going to return, that in fact is when he returns. And all these signs and this chaos that make us believe, oh, Christ could return any minute now, these are signs that this is not the sign of the end or his return. So we have to be watching, constantly vigilant, watching ourselves, but also encouraging each other and helping each other and building up that faith and confidence with each other. There's a lot more that I wish I had the time to go into, but in the resources that I offered earlier, you'll get a very in-depth study into this prophecy by the Lord in Matthew 24. Those resources, again, I want to remind you, chapter 2 of the prophecy of Zephaniah, the book of Zephaniah, chapter 2. It's an in-depth Bible study that compares Zephaniah's prophecy to our Lord's prophecy in Matthew 24. The other resource that also goes into Matthew 24 in much more detail is a sermon that I gave entitled, In the Likely Event of an Emergency. Not the unlikely event, but the likely event. That is, the church is going to face a state of emergency in the future. And I just touched on it and alluded to it a bit earlier, but I'll go into a lot more detail in this sermon, In the Likely Event of an Emergency. And to get those resources, again, I'll remind you, to call 888-578-8791. That's 888-578-8791. Or even easier is just to go to our website, cgi.org. And on that website, not only can you order these resources, but you can also access a number of other Bible studies, sermons, articles, etc. And we do have a lot of broadcasts, live broadcasts as well as recorded broadcasts that you can get at cgi.org. Also, I did mention earlier, and I'll repeat it again, to download our app for your smart device. And that's CGI Digital Network. You can search for that on any of the app stores. Download that, and it's just a very convenient way of accessing all of these helpful resources. Well, we have been looking at the timing of our Lord Jesus Christ's return, being very clear about what are the signs of his return and what are those things that just indicate that we are nearing the end and, in fact, are not signs of his return. And Christ did not want us to be deceived. And so he made sure that we understood what to look for and what to understand were simply indicators that we're moving into a new season, but not indicators of his return or of the end of the age. He does answer those questions very specifically. Well, thanks for joining us today. And I'll just remind you again, remember to put on the whole armor of God. And we look forward to you joining us again for a future broadcast.
Armor of God and the free material offered is brought to you by The Church of God International of Tyler, Texas. You may write to us at 3900 Timms Street, Tyler, Texas, 75701, or call toll-free at 1-888-578-8791, or call 1-903-939-2929 during regular business hours. You may visit our website at www.cgi.org or email us at armorofgodcgi.org. We appreciate your prayers and support.
This program is sponsored by The Church of God International and supported by our viewers.
The Church of God International would like to introduce the availability of a new app designed for your convenience. Download it now.